We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day. Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to Laker Film Room Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Pete, joined as always by Darius and Mike. And today we're going to talk about whether or not Lakers can pull off Game 6 and how they can go about doing it. I think before we get into any of the on-court stuff, any of the X's and O's, there's a leadership component to this, right? They got rocked in Game 5, and it would be very easy to have a 1-2-3 Cancun approach to Game 6, being that AD is out. We've suffered a lot of, a friend of mine described this season as death by a thousand cuts, which I think is an appropriate way of putting that. And the worst of all being AD's injury that's kept him out. So there's a certain psychological component to, we can do this, right? That in order to do it, you have to believe you can do it in the first place. And Mike, you've played competitively at a pretty high level in a different sport, and the legends of your athletic achievements, you know, have inspired nicknames. But but you understand the team environment, right? Both competing and being around the team. There's a certain, like, on the floor, the mood of the guys, the mentality of the guys that I think we need to be picked up. And I think in terms of leadership, the leaders of this team will be responsible for whether or not that happens. I'm curious your thoughts, man, on how do they get into that state of mind of belief? Like, we can do this even without AD, and then this is what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, Pete, it's a really fair point to think about that part of the psyche of an athlete at this level, at where you've been, barring some, you know, real weird stories and some exceptions, you have been at an elite level for many, many years. And that brings with it a certain set of confidence, that brings with it a certain set of swagger. And Frank Vogel always talked about that last year, in most often in terms of Rondo. And when AD and LeBron are there, I'm sure, like, having it come from somewhere else, like a Rondo, or even from a guy like a Jared Dudley, has a little bit of that. When he's not playing, it's a little different. And so you need it to come from somebody else. But that part of the Lakers did seem to go away a bit when Davis went down this most recent time. And LeBron's always got it, right? He's just by the nature, just by who he is, by walking on the court. But he needs help with that. And there are some other guys throughout points of the season. Dennis Schroeder had some of that swagger early, you know, especially on the defensive side of the court, I think. And Montrezl Harrell had it in pockets, like in March when AD went out, and he was playing a lot more with LeBron. And like Alex Caruso has it at certain times. Like they're even so, that hasn't been there though, aside from LeBron in the last couple games, in the last game and a half. And that to me is what is going to be difficult for them to find. in game six. Now, can the fans give them some of that? Can they get a boost just by hitting a couple of shots? Well, Markieff Morris hit his first three. You know, LeBron hits the three. They go up 8-2, or I guess it was 8-3. Booker had hit a three. So the question, Pete, and why I'm going on a little bit here is that I don't know, because we haven't seen this before where they've been down and they've needed to call upon it. And they didn't have AD to go to. He didn't miss, like everyone talks about the injury stuff now, Darius. He didn't miss a playoff game last year. You know, he was there. And so that's the unknown that I think is a little bit could bring out some trepidation, is that where do they get it from? They tried every lineup that they could think of in game five. So to me, it's almost more of just a back against the wall, you know, let it fly, got nothing to lose, just got blown out, home crowd collective. But I wish I had a better and more direct answer to Pete's question, Darius, about where that's going to come from.
Yeah, I actually don't know where it's going to come from either. There's a certain amount of we can do this that's needed, but we can do this also depends on things actually going right on the court, right? So, Mike, you often talk about all of these players certainly have confidence. They all have a sense of belonging within the context of the NBA or the team or their role. But I also think it's disingenuous to say that that's a constant thing that's always there for all players, right? And I'm not saying that you were saying that, Mike, but I just think these guys are humans just like us.
And belief is hard to fake too, right? Like the idea that we can do this, I can do this, that isn't there all the time. There are times where we all doubt ourselves in depending on the circumstances.
Everyone's confidence can be shaken, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be truly, like, I would say, like the top 1% of these guys who are already in the top 1% of everyone else. Those are the guys who sort of walk around like, I don't care what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the best dude, right? And there are some dudes, like, I was thinking about that Nuggets game the other day where it was like the Austin Rivers game, right? And so there are certain guys who carry themselves like that.
Dylan Brooks is like the poster, and it is a wonderful attribute to have, even yes. if you're not the best player in the league. That self-belief is, I think that's something that people in general lack and that thrive when they're able to harness that.
Now, stuff like that cuts both ways too, right? Because when For you sure. think you should be taking X shot, right? Like I've seen Celtics fans complain about Marcus Smart like that, for example, like, oh, biggest shot in the game, right?
It's Marcus Smart time. That's
it's
right.
It's my time now, right? And so all of that can cut both ways, but the Lakers are going to need a little bit more of that. And conjuring that out of nothingness is hard enough. Conjuring it from a place where you just got your butts kicked, you're down one of your best players, and the prospects of if this could literally end our season, there's a multiplying effect that concerns me about this specific game, right? And so I think the best way for things to turn around is for them to have success on both sides of the floor and to have things snowball in the right direction for them versus what happened in the last game. I thought the last game was rough for a variety of reasons, but it was more so the fact that everything that could have gone wrong from the Lakers in terms of, like, we've done a lot of things right this possession. We forced a miss, and then someone comes in and tips the ball. Now it's a 50-50 chance, and Phoenix is just quicker to it, right? Like, we've broken down their defense, swing, wide open three, and it misses. And then on the next possession down, Phoenix is hitting like a contested three, or Booker is shooting over the top of two defenders, and that goes in, and there mm-hmm. is a force multiplier in the other direction. It's not just like, oh, we miss, they score. We miss, they score. Like, timeout, like, oh, shit. It's starting to pile up. It was the extremes in which those things were happening the last game, that I thought was really that knockout blow that we talked about on the last pod, right? And so I think returning, putting some of those things back in the right balance should help this team mentally, but success is what's going to breed confidence, right? Like, that's the theory behind the hot hand. It's not that, it's not like, oh, I'm hot, I can't miss. It's that these guys are so good that they start to feel a little bit of success, and it's just like, oh, now I'm in my bag a little bit. And you can see it when guys are feeling that good. And it's been a long time, I feel like, in this series since anyone has felt like that. It was probably that LeBron
second
sequence,
half of game three.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And so that's over two games ago. Mm-hmm.
And the point to tie in, Pete, is they don't necessarily have somebody who right now is playing a certain way that feels like it can threaten the specific defense that Phoenix is playing. With Ayton camped out at the rim, with their wings pressuring, you know, with Booker and Paul being physical on the perimeter, more Paul than Booker there. There hasn't been something like, whether it's THT drives or, you know, shooter screen roll or just something that's going to work there. Because the secondary action for the Lakers is like more like an AD post-up as opposed to a LeBron screen roll. So there isn't – that to me is where their source of frustration has been, and where, like, yeah, okay, we're going to get these open shots, but they're not really feeling like they're going to go down. So that foundational element to the offense, which I know you spent a lot of time thinking about this year, and you could simplify it down into half-court offense. Like, that's the part now where that's really come full circle without Anthony Davis.
Absolutely. And that's why both that point and Darius's point about there are certain guys that have that confidence no matter what, we've got one of them. It's LeBron. And that's why if we're going to win this game, I think it's essential that we get off to a good start. And I think that getting off to a good start means LeBron James hitting threes in particular, because Phoenix is not going to change their defense until we start making shots. We've run a lot of ball screen action for LeBron, and that has led to those open threes that role players have been missing. Him hitting those five threes in the third quarter was the one ray of light where I look toward game six, where it's like, if he hits three, four threes in the first 6 minutes or so, which is a big ask, but LeBron James is capable of that, that installation of confidence in everybody else is going to have to come from LeBron showing that he can be LeBron, and that slots everybody else into a more appropriate position. It's not the same as if we had LeBron and AD, of course, but LeBron having a 40-45 point night as a scorer, or showing that potential early on, right? Like Booker did last night, that 18 in the first quarter type of quarter. Again, a big ask, but that to me is one of the few pathways to not just from an X's and O's perspective, but from a confidence perspective, because what we talked about in the last episode, Darius, about the team got rattled in that first quarter, they got shaken, and then there was a knockout punch very early. And so if we go down 12-2 or something to start this game, it's probably really bad news for us. We got to jump out quickly, and I think LeBron as a scorer is essential to that.
Well, I think, too, that there is a certain part of a phrase I've used a lot in life is like, fake it until you make it, right? Fake it till you make it. And mm-hmm. sort of the idea of like, act like you belong and one day you will.
Hey man, I called myself Laker Film Room one day and like figured it out, right? You know, like, let's work toward it.
Well, you know, even me, right? Like, I took over this site when I didn't know what the hell I was doing, right?
Like, no, like, same.
I had written some posts for Kurt at Forum Blue and Gold, and I was contributing behind the scenes. And one day he got an opportunity to go do something that he really wanted to do. And it's just like, mm-hmm. hey, I don't want the site to die. Like, Darius, do you want to do this? And I was just like, I don't know if I can. Right? Like, mm-hmm. and
that's how most people feel when they're approaching new situations, is like, I'm not sure if I can do this. It's a daunting task ahead of them.
And so there's a certain amount of trickery that you have to play on yourself. And that's where I was going with this, right? The Lakers are in a position where they can go in a direction where they feel pressure. If we lose this game, our season's over. We're mm-hmm. the defending champions, right? Like, we're at home. And all of that stuff can start to be something that you carry with you. And the more things you carry in life, in your psyche, the more it's going to impact your day-to-day ability to perform the thing that you really need to perform at, right? Everyone has work stress and life stress and all of this other stuff. And if you continue to carry that stuff throughout your everyday life, it's very difficult to be the best version of yourself. And so when I say fake it till you make it, it's more the idea of the Lakers need to invert that idea. They need to be like, shit, no one's picking us to win. We ain't even supposed to win this game.
Right?
We're like,
my concern, man, is that we haven't seen that from this team. This is what I hope for, but I'm really skeptical about it.
I'm skeptical that they can do it too, Mike, because they have not been the underdog the entire year. They've been the favorite. They've been hunted all season long, and they've won some battles and they've lost some battles, but their reality has changed now.
Yes.
And living in the old world of we're the Lakers and we have LeBron James and we're the top. No, you're actually not anymore. Right. Like last year you won the lottery, right? Then 6 months ago, you gave a lot of money to family and then you did a bad investment. And now guess what? You're just a regular dude now. So it's time to change back up a little bit. So I'm not saying that that's going to be easy, but there's a certain amount of freedom that the team started to play with when the game was out of reach. And what I'm trying to figure out is there a way that they can recapture that freedom? Because LeBron hit 5 threes or 6 threes or whatever he hit.
That's
you know
what
why?
I'm saying.
Because none of those shots mattered.
That's right.
None of them mattered. There were no stakes anymore. And while the stakes are at their highest the next game, in game six, because if you lose, your season is over. I think that's the wrong way to look at this entirely, because if they focus on the outcome so much, then that can be paralyzing even to the very best and the very elite of the elite.
That's usually a bad thing to do with anything, is to focus on the outcome. That's the whole chop wood, carry water, is you focus on the details of the tasks that you have at hand. And then the outcome ends up happening as a result of that.
If you look back to one specific playoff run that I always think about, and my first year covering the Lakers in 2008-09, and they play Houston in the first round, and clearly the Lakers are better, and yet, right, they go into game five even, and they win game five by a million. You know, I don't know if it was 30 or 40, and then they go and lose game six, and then they win game seven by a ton again. And what I'm kind of, you know, I'm fearing part of that type of thing coming out again, where the Lakers can find some way, you know, and just all of the stuff Darius is just talking about. But then are they going to convince themselves that they can not only win game six at home, but then go to the place where they just got wiped off the floor with the same exact roster and win that game too? Because what's difficult for these guys, I think, is to keep all of that. You know, LeBron is really good at this, focusing, keeping the main thing, right? Just the thing in front of you. And most people are not. Most people are human, and that's where these series sometimes evolve and get into. And so that is why I think it's so important for them to try to not just, you know, eke out a win and do it by effort in the home crowd, but like to find something that works basketball wise against this roster. And none of it was working in Phoenix, but maybe in this home game, they can establish something that just works along those lines.
And that's what we're going to talk about in the second part of the pod, is the basketball stuff. If they have the spirit, if they're able to bring that, and these two things are related to each other, as Darius said, the more success we have early on, the more spirit and belief that we'll have. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how that will look in a basketball perspective. If you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all the other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you for just the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. That's bwhustle.com/join. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily Instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in Instant Karma to 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. Credit Karma Money. Progress starts here. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Darius, what's your starting lineup?
I mean, I probably start Mark, LeBron. If KCP is available, I probably start KCP. I probably start Wes and Dennis. Like, I could see starting Caruso.
Yeah, I'd start Caruso instead of Dennis. I agree with your starting lineup, with the exception of that.
So you would start, you would not start Dennis.
I think it's absolutely essential that we get off to a good start, and that in the idea of their spirit and belief, Wesley Matthews always plays the same way.
Yes.
Alex Caruso always plays the same way. Mark Gasol, right? LeBron, obviously. I think you need your five guys who you know and trust are going to play to the best of their abilities and really bring a level of assertiveness that I don't trust in Dennis at this point, not after that last game. And in a do or die scenario where you don't have a tomorrow, if today doesn't work out, I'm going with a guy that I trust a lot more in Alex.
The implications of that are super interesting to me, because there are subplots with everything around Dennis that I feel like, in some levels, that stuff has informed a lot of stuff this season, some for good, some for not as good. I love Caruso, so I'd be totally fine starting Caruso. I thought that he was one of the guys who seemed ready to compete the last game. He just wasn't
successful. That's what I'm saying.
He just wasn't successful at what he was doing. The shots that he was taking, he was showing no hesitation. He was taking them in rhythm. He knew when he had to shoot. He knew when he had to pass. It wasn't always perfect, but no one's a perfect player. So I do think that there are tactical things that work with the proposed lineup that you said. I'll be very interested to see which direction Vogel goes in, because Vogel has been, this is his first back against the wall, like, game from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. He has done a lot, I feel like, over his 2 years as a Laker coach to make in-game adjustments, halftime adjustments, for example, where you can make real lineup changes and that are unprompted, not prompted by injury, only prompted by what needs to happen on the court. And I'll be very interested to see what he does from the start of a game that is must win from the very beginning.
And he's always been relatively slow, right? Like the whole idea of game one being the feel out game. We'll talk about that at another point. I'm still irritated about game one considering our circumstances. But that whole idea of I'm going to let you throw the first punch and I'm going to counter punch. This is in a scenario, Mike, where we can afford to wait, right? Where we can afford to counter punch. And so it's a different position to be in from the coach's perspective.
Just run through real quick again your respective starting fives.
So if KCP is healthy, AC, KCP, Wes, LeBron, and Mark.
Okay, Darius.
And Darius is the same with Dennis instead.
And I had originally said Dennis instead of Caruso, and I would still start Mark. Dennis would probably be my first guard off of the bench, and I'd be ready to play LeBron for 40-plus minutes like Vogel was the last game. So it would be something like that where – I don't want to say my hook with Dennis would be early, but I would want to give him an opportunity to perform. In theory, the Lakers need what he can provide. I'd like to know very early on if he's ready to give it, but it's tricky.
My argument is that we don't have the time. I think that getting off to a fast start in this game, due to all of the factors that we've discussed regarding their spirit and belief to be able to win, I think it's essential that we get off to a good start in this game. I understand the implications of what I'm suggesting on other levels, right? But if we want to win this game, I that's where I'd go.
I'm not so worried about implications at this point. So I'm not worried about potentially hurting feelings and stuff like that. I'm more thinking of what knowing Frank Vogel and how he likes to do things, what are they going to do? So in I kind of agree with Pete's point about Caruso, at least to an extent but I don't think that makes enough of a difference in, like, to Frank, to when they're putting the game plan together. And I'd say the same thing about Mark. Like, Mark against Chris Paul and Devin Booker, it's just not been a good matchup. It's just not. They are hunting him, and he cannot get out of the – like, Booker has gotten really good at the Harden-type move, and even Chris Paul does it to an extent, Lou Williams to an extent, where he launches into the body and then goes up with a shot. And he was getting that call the last couple games. Is he going to get it in game six? Maybe not, but – that's one that Mark can't avoid and Drummond can. And so that's one thing where they just kept attacking him over and over again. And he's going to hit a three or two. He's shooting the ball really well from three to kind of make up for it to some extent on the other end. But he's going to play regardless. So it's not going to be to me the difference of if you're not starting Dennis or you're not starting Drummond, but you're still going to have to play him. So you may as well start him and then have them like hope that empowers them some. And then just like he did in Phoenix, have those guys on standby. So they're all going to play. What I wouldn't do is play 13 guys. I would say, all right, here's the 10 that we're going with for this game. You know, and in this case, I might have THT might be a guy that I'm using off the bench because I need a little bit more punch. But McLemore's not playing. You know, McKinney's not playing. And I honestly don't know if KCP is going to play. I would be a little bit honestly surprised if he's able to play full, like based on how he came out of the game. So if I'm not sure, and that's a way that you can get Caruso into the starting lineup, Pete,
there you go. Right,
for KCP. So then you're going Shooter, Caruso, LeBron, Drummond, and this is where now here's our second spot, right? Do you go Morris again? Do you start Kuz and hope that he gets back? And I don't think Morris has been playing well enough to start again. So that's why I probably go Kuz in that setting. And, but that's tough. Like it's, there isn't a great answer, or I guess you can go Wes and just go smaller. So maybe you go between Wes and Kuz, and I can be convinced to go Wes over Kuz.
I disagreed with starting Keefe because we need spacing. LeBron needs more spacing, and having him at the four rather than at the three, I think, is essential to achieving that. So I really, really hope LeBron starts at the four in this game.
Can I just make a radical suggestion?
Please.
You got to win one game. Who are your five best players?
So five best or five playing the best right now, I suppose, is where. Mm.
Who are the five guys that you trust the most to go out there and perform?
Oh, I told you mine. That was my starting lineup.
LeBron, Caruso. God, in this matchup, Drummond versus Gasol is trickier. But Darius, I kind of have to split the difference there because I think they're both going to play.
Yeah.
And I don't know which ones. They're better in different situations, right? There isn't one that it's like a super clear thing. So you take your pick between those two.
I was going to throw out this radical idea about like, oh, if there's a radical starting lineup that I would start. But I would say this. This group isn't going to start. So I'm just going to say it right here. A five-man group, and I want to see this next game. And this is assuming KCP does not play. Like Mike, I think it's a good point that the way he came out of the game and in general, the way that he was moving towards the end of his last shift.
For sure.
It's tricky with only basically, what, like 36 hours. I want to see a Dennis, Wes, Caruso, LeBron, Kuz lineup.
Oh, LeBron at the five. Or Kuz at the five. Yeah.
Or whoever at the five. LeBron's going to guard Ayton.
Which he can.
If Ayton is in the game. Now, I wanted to see a super small lineup during a competitive portion of the game, the last game. And I was hoping, and I wrote it up this way when I did my pregame preview. I was hoping that would be in the second half where there would be of game five, where the game would be close-ish, right? And the Lakers then would be able to go to something that they probably hadn't shown during the earlier stage of the game, catch Phoenix a little bit off guard and force Monty Williams into making real personnel decisions when it comes to one of their best players this series. Maybe their second best player this series in Ayton, right? Or their first best. I mean, Booker probably leapfrogged him with his performance the last game. But on balance, Ayton's been better than Chris Paul because he's been available the whole time and not hampered by injury, and it's been very productive. I'd love to see the Lakers go small and sort of we joke about this online with the We Believe Lakers, right? The real We Believe team, those Warriors teams, they were just like, yeah, guess what? All of our best guys who can compete in this series, they are the smaller dudes. Right. So, yeah, I know it's not a one-to-one comparison, right, with like guys like Dirk and Brendan Haywood against like a guy like DeAndre Ayton, for example. But I think the Lakers need to say, yeah, we need spacing. We need quickness. We need defense. We need guys who can stunt in the paint or actually be in the paint and get back out to the 3-point line. Those are our wings. Every big on the floor is too slow to do that. And they're definitely too slow to contain the point of attack with Campaign and Booker and Chris Paul. All of those guys have been getting not destroyed, but it's worked in Phoenix's favor way too often with everything that's happened in all of the screen actions and all of the point of attack stuff. So I'd like to see more quickness infused into the lineup.
Yeah, that's something that if to whatever degree Mark plays, and obviously I'm advocating for him to start resolving that, I'd like to see more traps. I thought we were in way too many drops in that first quarter when things started to go out of hand. But Mark's picked up some fouls out on the perimeter there too. But I think that is, even so, he will win some of those battles. He'll win more of those battles than he will in the drops. But I think it's a good point that matching quickness is going to be essential. Of that end, or along those lines, Mike, does Trez fit into this? I think that in the absence of AD and with our offense being as rough as it's been, Trez has played well in this series when he's gotten the opportunity to. He's been a guy that like scores 8 but gives up 6 type of guy, but we need a guy that just score 8. And if we're giving up 6, we can survive that. Do you see a place for Trez, maybe not in the starting lineup, but off of the bench?
Almost anything that you were going to ask me here, I'm going to fit into the same answer as you guys are going back and forth and as we're naming names. Like, guys, the whole problem, at least in some ways, is because they're doing 75 different lineups. And they have to go to something where these guys know what they're doing together. And whatever that group is, it doesn't matter what it is. Like that's what they have to. Some of these guys have played in rotations together this year. The ones that have, I think, should play in the rotation again in game six. Period. There's no this. Oh, we're going to unleash this blitz on them at this point, or we're going to slide. Trez is going to collect. There's nothing that I think is going to be more important than them actually just trusting whatever they did the most in the regular season.
But what is that? What is the lineup, for example, that has played the most together that it is available for this game?
This is, of course, why the conversation is tricky and why Frank Vogel is trying different stuff, because there hasn't been one lineup that's just worked throughout the series. But there have been some that have been better than others, and you know that. Like, I still think that's why you have to start. So Schroeder and Drummond and LeBron, and if KCP can't play, then Wes, who has started some this year, and then Kuzma. Like, that lineup has at least played together some. And then you bring, in this case, you can bring Caruso off the bench, or he can start, and you keep it a little bit tighter. You don't switch things around so quickly, I guess. And I know, as I'm saying it, I know it's not like a great answer, but I just think there are no great answers.
We're at that portion.
Yeah, I think it beats trying to find combos on the fly this point. I think just, hey, look, you guys, I know the group, but guess what? I'm sticking with this group. Okay, and probably this is the group that's going to play together. We're going to stick with it. You guys are going to ride it out. You're going to play better, and you're going to hit shots and, you know, rah-rah.
What's the fewest number of guys you would feel comfortable saying these are the guys who are going to play tonight? I actually do not think that he can play 10 guys.
I agree with that.
LeBron, Drummond, Schroeder, Gasol, Wes, Caruso, Kuzma. That's 7. THT is 8. And then, you know, Harrell is 9. Right. And that's essentially, and so that's leaving off Keefe, that's leaving off McKinney and McLemore from last game.
I'm with you, D. I think this is a 7-player rotation type of game, right? Where you, so to your point, Mike, about the sticking with something, I would, in 99% of the time, I would agree with your point on continuity. But even the lineup that you mentioned, that they barely know how to play together even still. And so if we had something better as a foundation, this has been my point for quite some time now, is that we don't have something to build off of, whether it's lineups, whether it's go-to actions or things like that, that in the absence of that, I think that we do have to play a certain degree of whack-a-mole. I think that's the position that we're in.
But front court, so like LeBron, Drummond, and Kuzma have played some together. Now, Drummond has barely played with anybody, so I guess that's the point where you could make about putting Mark in. If you want to make that point, I can see that, and that's fine. Because guess what? Mark is going to play with those guys plenty. So it's almost like having the starting lineup discussion, I guess, to me feels a little bit excessive. But yes, that if we're to square that point, then let's just concede it. So then you're going to go Gasol, Kuzma, LeBron, Schroeder, Wes, who's an approximation for KCP. And then
that's fair.
Yeah. And so then I guess the real only difference there, and this speaks to the lack of continuity in general, is Drummond. But he has been around now. It has been 2 months, and he basically knows what he's doing. You know, in terms of what the scheme is he going to execute it every time? I don't know. But yeah, this is where we've reached the, at least for me, this is the point of, man, it got here real quick, right? Like, this is what teams are having to do when they're on the other side. Life comes at you quick, doesn't it?
The AD injury was a death knell in a lot of ways. Yeah.
So I mean, look, if KCP does not play and AD does not play, which I think the team needs to plan for those things. A 7-man rotation is the 5 wings, basically counting LeBron, right? So that's Dennis, Caruso, Wes, Kuz, LeBron, and then the 2 bigs, Mark and Drummond. That's 7 guys. Most teams in the playoffs can get away with like the most bare bones lineups are typically 7.5 guys. When when the Raptors won the championship, they basically played 7.5 guys. And the half a guy is a guy who probably only plays one shift. He probably plays a first half shift in order to spell one or two players from not having to play the full 24 minutes. And right. And so those guys can go longer in the second half if they have to. I would advocate saying that those seven guys are probably the seven guys, right? And honestly, if I'm playing a half a guy, it might be THT.
Sure.
Because it's not going to be because it's not going to be another big.
Especially right? if we're going smaller.
Yeah.
THT, like, we need to expand driving lanes. That's the – we haven't gotten into a ton of the X's and O's and minutia of it, but just expanding driving lanes is central in this game.
I agree. I do think THT's got to be in there for some minutes, and you're just going to have to live with him getting beat a couple times by Booker or Chris Paul and, like, the rotations being and just hope that he's getting to the rim. But I do – to Pete's earlier point, though, Darius, like, I'm trying to figure out some way to get Trez some minutes, like when LeBron's off the floor. It does get to be hard with the way Phoenix plays to have all those bigs, you know, to have three bigs playing.
Look, if you're going to say play a different seventh guy and you want one of those seven guys to be Trez, then I'm sorry, Andre Drummond, maybe you don't play this game. And this is where, and Pete, you eloquently said this the last pod about, like, hey, we're a little bit deep in the alphabet now when it comes to plans, right? Because that's what happens, particularly when you have injuries, right? And the injury already puts you on to plan B or C. When it's such a main cog, like Anthony Davis, it probably pushes you to plan D and E because those guys are integral pieces for multiple lineups. They are pillars. They are lineup pillars. They are foundational players.
What you've been around
in the essence of the word, right? And so that guy's a starter. That guy's an anchor for a second unit. He is going to be an anchor for another unit that is like a third, that is a second bench-based unit, and on down the line. And that's why things get tricky for the Lakers here. Like, chemistry or continuity is out the window. That went out the window probably much earlier than this series. It's something that we've been talking about on this pod for a long time. But when it comes right down to it, the team in general, they need to find, I think, at the most basic level, they need to find seven players who are going to go out there and say, our season doesn't end tonight.
That's
like,
right.
Like that it from at the most basic level, that's it right there. Now, competitiveness will only get you so far. We have talked about the Lakers' talent for a long time. Being down AD hurts. Being down KCP would hurt, right? But there's still a bunch of guys on this roster who are very good basketball players. Mm-hmm. Right? Including LeBron James. And so while the talent may not be there in comparison to a very good Suns team at this stage with where both teams are at, I still trust that Lakers have six or seven guys to go out there and have enough talent to say we can win this basketball game. So the next step is belief, right? And if you believe and you do everything at full speed, irrespective of what the outcomes are going to be, focus on doing the thing that you're supposed to do, doing your job, every possession. That's the formula for this team to be competitive and be in the game and then potentially win it. And if enough things go in your favor, I'm not saying win it comfortably, but win it in a way where you can even establish more belief, right? But we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. There are so many more ways the Lakers can lose this game than there are that they can win this game. But the ways that they can win this game, they are so straightforward that there's only really one or two ways to attack that. And
that's right.
And I think that it starts with belief and it starts with saying, look, in the same way, Mike, you've said this a bunch, like in our group chat, but even on the pod too, those games where a team only has seven guys available because, oh, this guy's out with COVID protocol and this guy's got a turned ankle and this guy's got a sore back. And suddenly you've got eight guys on your team. Those eight guys feel like, shit, I'm going to go out here and do whatever the hell I want because I know I'm not getting pulled. I know that I'm getting my minutes tonight. And on some levels, reducing the rotation to me can have that same effect. Vogel's going to have to gather these guys and say, these are the dudes tonight.
Yeah, for sure. And if there's one, if there's the last thought for me, Pete, like coming out of that group of guys, thinking about who has a little bit more upside in their games. Well, so we know that Kuz does, but it hasn't been there from a scoring and shooting perspective in the same way. It hasn't been there. I think the lack of reps once AD and LeBron both got back has gotten him out of that mindset. So I don't know if you can count on it being there. So the guy that I'm going to point to is Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder is the guy. That was what you made that trade for. And we don't need to do the Danny Green thing again, Pete, certainly right now. But like that's a guy in this kind of climate. You're not having the question about you know what he's going to do. You know, you're going to trust it. So Schroeder, for a while this season, did give you the really steady defensive effort. He gave you somewhat consistent offense, and he's got to find a way. He was 0 for 9 last game? And it's not just the 0 for – it's the take 15 shot, get to the free throw line.
That's right.
Fly into DeAndre Ayton. Like, that's – I know it's in you, Dennis, because that's what your whole persona is. He's feisty. The dude is feisty with everybody. That's his personality. Like, that's great. Except for family seems to be – that's where he can kind of wonderfully chill out and calm down. But, like, that to me, out of all of these guys about where they can get to and what who can do a little more, regardless of what the defense – like, he's got to do it. And I know the paint's crowded, blah, blah. But, like, you got to see something else from Dennis Schroeder for me.
Show me the feisty. I want to see it. This is the time to see it. And as Darius said, like it's a matter of belief. And that's why I think this beginning of this game is essential. And finding those guys that have that belief that our season is not going to end in this game is going to be a big part of game six. We'll be back to break it down once that's over. Hopefully we'll have a game seven to talk about, but we shall see. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound to Lonnie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block. An NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance.
Right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move. Two, one, miss it.
Bryant.
For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yeah. And that was a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic. Trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.